The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. And a warm welcome to all of our Vashonites and listeners from beyond the beautiful island of Vashon, Washington. And I first want to express a big dose of gratitude to all of you that are tuned in today for Adventures in Recovery. It's right around, well, it's around 1:30. This is island time, you have to realize. We go at our own pace here. And there is no drama. We don't make a big deal, really, out of anything here, and especially in recovery. So, Tom Walston, your host, always happy to be with you every week here. A lot of exciting changes coming up here at the radio station. We're going to be going to podcasting next week, and we're excited about getting all that together. So things are kind of in transition this week. But I do have a fascinating guest to join me today. And I want you to join me in welcoming Jeff Thompson to our show today. Jeff, welcome to Adventures in Recovery.
It's great to be here, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's funny how the universe works. Jeff was just referred to me by another person, by another person. And that's kind of how recovery itself is kind of serendipitous, because it's a community deal. We don't get sober or clean by ourselves usually. It's because either the referral, sometimes the referral could have been a nudge from the judge,
right,
or the police department, or a family member, or maybe one day we just looked in the mirror and realized, you know, we got to make a few positive changes going on. So Jeff is a newcomer to the island, ladies and gentlemen. He's from Oklahoma. And I'm going to turn it over to Jeff and let him fill us in with maybe how he got here. And then we'll get into his story.
Awesome. Yeah, so I have been a longtime visitor of Vashon for the last year. I guess that's not quite a long time. In Jeff years, it feels like a long time. I've gone through a really pretty significant reset leaving Oklahoma and moving back to the Pacific Northwest. I lived in the Seattle area in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started my longest journey in recovery, was 2002. And at the same time, my first day sober was also my first day working for Fair Start over in Seattle, the nonprofit that provides training for people experiencing homelessness.
Nice.
And then my mom passed away in 2004. I moved back to Texas to be closer to my dad. And, you know, it created this sort of long journey of spending time in Texas and then going back to my roots in Oklahoma. But my sister had been living out here for the last few years. My daughter and grandson, also live out here, on Vashon. And so, you know, it was always important to me, to get back here and get closer to them. And so, I spent the last, year living over on the Kitsap Peninsula, but visiting Vashon frequently. And I just fell in love with the community here, the energy, the nature. There's so much to love about Vashon.
Oh, you got that right.
And the people, especially, and like you said, there's this crazy thing that happens with synchronicities, and I always think of coincidences as when the universe is winking at you.
I like that.
And it feels like that's what happened for me coming to Vashon, and we'll get into it a little bit later, some specifics, but the president of the Vashon Maury Community Council, of which I'm a member now, said that I broke a record being the shortest time resident for the joining the community council. And I just feel like Vashon has really opened itself up to me in a really wonderful and spiritual way. And I want to honor that. And I want to step into that opportunity.
Well, you bring a lot to the island. And what little time I've had, first time I've ever talked to Jeff was actually yesterday when I invited him to be my guest on the show. And man, there are so many things that you and I both have in common, especially on our recovery path and doing different geographics and living in other parts of the country. One of the things that really intrigued me was the fact that I'm talking to a guy that actually owned a clean and sober nightclub. And I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, well, that was such an exciting adventure for me. It's scary, and I learned a lot. I had been working for years in the food service industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you probably know, that you know, you get off work at 11, 12 at night, you're all keyed up with adrenaline, and it seems like really the only place to unwind and to decompress is a bar.
Absolutely.
And drug and alcohol abuse is really rampant in the hospitality industry. You know, I think a lot of it's opportunity, and a lot of it's this, the dynamic and the structure of the job and the pace of the job. But I had a chef friend who I really cared a lot about who drank himself to death while I was he owned one of the best Mediterranean places in our food hall in Tulsa, right on Route 66 there. And it was one of those deals where I was talking with him on a Friday, and I came back to work on Monday and found out he'd passed away. And it was just, you know, and I said, listen, we've got to have an opportunity, a place for people to do something when they get off work that isn't necessarily harmful to their body, mind, and spirit. And so that became the genesis for Straight Edge Lounge, which was Oklahoma's first and, to my knowledge, only sober bar. And we had a great, great run, first as a brick and mortar. The woman that owns the Church Studios, which is Leon Russell's old recording studio, had turned that whole neighborhood really into a destination district called Studio Row. And she had a vacancy, and so Teresa Knox reached out to me and said, hey, we think what you're wanting to do might be a real fit here. And, you know, Straight Edge Lounge takes its name from the punk rock movement of the Straight Edge movement, which was really about people that were in that scene that were trying to avoid the trappings of drinking and drugs. And so we had this kind of punk rock ethos and this sort of DIY ethos that goes along with the punk rock community. And, you know, it just was really well received there in Tulsa. I met my now ex-wife through that opportunity. And, you know, it was a chaotic time. Like I said earlier, I learned a lot from it. But, you know, the thing that we got to do was we got to create events that were really centered around giving back to the community, raising awareness about mental health, raising awareness about harm reduction, and really, you know, getting connected, once again, this idea of a network, right? Of getting connected to the network of resources and people that are committed to that work in Oklahoma. And we found that the overhead was, the business model worked better as kind of a pop-up event. Mm-hmm. And so we went on to doing more kind of takeovers and really kind of leaning into the sober speakeasy kind of vibe, where we would take a coffee house that was closing at 5 p.m. and we'd come in, obviously with permission from the owner, and take over their space and turn the space into kind of a nightclub, like you said. And we did karaoke, and we did concerts, and we did live tattooing to raise money for a domestic violence shelter in, wow, in Tulsa. And so it was and then we also got invited by all these nonprofits. As you know, nonprofits do these gala events, and a lot of times the big draw of these galas is the open bar. And then you think about a nonprofit that's maybe in kind of the mental health or in the human services space, maybe a booze fest isn't really the best expression of those values. And so we started getting invited to be the hospitality resource that was at these galas and create a sober bar and create a signature mocktail around the event's theme. And just,
nice.
And I got, you know, I won an award for a peach cobbler old fashioned that was pure, totally alcohol free.
I love it.
But I got to lean into my culinary background a little bit and experiment and try things, and just really, really exciting time. And you know, it's an idea that I have not put to rest. It's something that I still believe in. And as I've learned more about the Vashon community here, you know, there's not really a community center. So there seems like there might be a fit here in Vashon for something similar that could lean into making a safe space for teens, you know, things like that as
well. Oh, man, I'm right on track with you with that. I mean, we could use your model in adopting something like that on the island. It's so needed. There's nothing for the kids to do here. There's nothing for, I shouldn't say nothing. We're very limited in the options that we have for our youth and for adults too, because I mean, the current trend and the current vibe is, let's face it, people are not drinking the way they used to.
That's right.
But what are we going to replace that with? You know, you need an outlet. You need a social. I mean, recovery is all about community.
Correct.
Because nobody's going to do it on their own, typically. And so if there is an outlet or a place where they could maybe hear a concert, there's a lot of incredible musicians and artists that are in recovery.
Yeah. And so much talent here on the island,
oh,
too.
Oh, it's incredible. And people visiting. Yeah. I mean, I was so impressed when I heard that somebody, because you're talking to a former bartender of over 20 years. So, I mean, and even when you'd get off work late at night, it's like, what do you do except get another gram of Coke and stay up till the sun comes up?
That's right.
And then maybe get some. I mean, it was just a really vicious cycle. And I totally get the vibe about the hospitality industry. Partying is, because what do? I've worked real hard. I deserve
it. I earned it. Yeah,
shift drink
absolutely.
Today.
Sure.
And for some of us, a shift drink just primes the pump.
That's right.
We're not going to stop after that shift drink.
Right.
And one of the last places I worked, my shift drink consisted of, you know, about 30 ounces of brandy and about 4 ounces of 7-Up.
Right.
That was my shift drink. And yeah, the rest is history. But you've been on the clean and sober path for a while now.
Yeah.
And we don't have to get into any particulars as far as violating the anonymity of certain programs, but there are so many paths to recovery.
Yeah, and that was the thing I think that was such an interesting part of the Sober Bar journey, was partnering with community organizations that were really kind of in the harm reduction space, right? And learning, and I just completed, I'm also in school for chemical dependency counseling. So I went through a recovery coach academy a couple weeks ago at Olympic College. And one of the things that they say is, you're in recovery when you say you are.
Part of CCAR.
Exactly. CCAR,
wow.
That's where it was. And so this idea of honoring people wherever they are in their path, you know,
yep.
And that, you know, I think we say dismissively a lot of times this idea of California sober, but there are people that can use cannabis, you know, in moderation. It's not part of their trigger path. And as long as they're not doing heroin, that's an improvement, right? So like,
well, let's back up and define California sober for people that aren't used to that.
Sure.
That connotation.
Yeah. So California sober got its name from people that were not drinking and were maybe even attending a 12-step program that was associated with not drinking, but were still allowing themselves to smoke cannabis recreationally. And this goes way back. I heard that term, you know, when I was going to meetings in the Los Angeles area in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Early 90s. And so the term goes back, but now that you've got so many states where cannabis is legal, you know, there are ways, I think, to treat cannabis medicinally. It's not something I can do. You know, for me, anything I always said that if cardboard changed how I felt, I could get addicted to it.
I like that. And you know what, folks? This is a fascinating guest. I'm so lucky to have Jeff Thompson here, and we're going to hear more from him right after this. And in case you just joined us, we are lucky enough today to have a newcomer to the island that is now a resident, a full-time resident of Vashon. It's Jeff Thompson, who just moved up here from Oklahoma and is bringing a lot of his experience, strength, and hope to our island. And we are really going to benefit from having a brand new neighbor that's just on fire right now. And when I say on fire, I mean he is actually probably going to be involved with the opening of our new treatment facility here called Thunderbird. Many of you that are listening right now have some have mixed feelings about it, but I'll tell you what, being a drug and alcohol counselor myself at Vashon Youth and Family Services, this is just going to enlarge our family of opportunities for people to live a happier, joyous life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I had the opportunity to attend one of their open houses, hiring events that was over at the Vashon Arts Council, I want to say, VCA, yeah. And it was just so cool to hear the ways that they're blending Native American wisdom and medicinal teachings in with their curriculum. They refer to their clients as relatives, which I think is beautiful. Mm. It creates that idea of family. And that's really what we've always experienced in recovery, Tom, is that the people that we go to meetings with and do life with really become our chosen family. And in many ways, the deeper relationship and connection there with those people than some of us have with our blood family.
Even. Exactly.
You know, and so I have been aggressively hounding the good people at Thunderbird Treatment at the Seattle Indian Health Board. They have a position that I'm actually interviewing for tomorrow. By this time tomorrow, I will be smack dab in the middle of my interview with them. So my fingers are crossed.
Mine are too for you.
But, you know, I've also had a great interview with the Vashon Food Bank, which is used to be housed mere feet from where we are right now. And, you know, and as part of my work on the Vashon Community Council, which is also in its infancy for me as a new member, you know, I'm the sector liaison for food security in the poverty sector and also the sector liaison for recovery on the island. And so really, I've just been spending my time since I've been on the island trying to find out what the gaps are, where the needs are in the community. And, you know, what's amazing is that part of the energy of my move into the island has just given me this new gear. Like, I feel like I've found a fifth gear or a sixth gear. And my emotional and mental and spiritual bandwidth has really widened since I've been here. And I think there's something about the island itself that's invigorating me and giving me this sort of what feels like a second wind, obviously, because I'm approaching 60. Actually, in July, I'll be 60 years old. So,
woo-hoo!
Yeah, exactly. Finally an old fogey. Finally earned it.
Hey, earned my. Trust me, I can relate. I'm not going to speak for Truman, our engineer. He's very young at heart and has a lot more knowledge. Well, he's the reason we're on the air today. Let's just put it that way. But
I'm so glad
you're on the island. And I also know that when we earlier mentioned the fact that recovery takes on many, many paths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when sometimes somebody will be told, you know, you really need to get to a meeting. And the first thing I hear as far as a rebuttal to that is, well, I've heard of AA, but it's the God, it's a religious, it's like, okay, now just show up.
Right.
Before you start poo-pooing it, really what you're telling me is you're afraid of how you're going to get well.
Right.
And it's not about the 12 steps. It's about community.
Mm-hmm.
When we are in our using mode or our addiction mode, it's usually about all about you.
Right.
I don't have enough to share with anybody else, or I'll run out, or this or that, and we keep it a secret from so-and-so and people. We have to change our stories up to whoever we're talking to. And it gets to be exhausting and
yes,
gets to be tired. But when we're involved with community, and it could be a 12-step organization,
mm-hmm,
the Native Americans usually kind of oftentimes refer to the Red Road to Wellbriety.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of the traditions. You talked about family.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about, you mentioned that the natives have gifted us with the fact that all of creation is all of our family.
That's
We're
right.
all balanced here. And so that we talked about the Red Road to Wellbriety. And in fact, I'm so glad that Thunderbird is going to be practicing some of their traditional healing ways in native medicine, which mm-hmm. is our plants.
Yes.
And our medicine is also the people we choose to hang around.
Absolutely.
That's our medicine as well.
Yeah.
And not only that, but bringing in some of the traditions of native plants in our mm-hmm. medicine.
Yes.
They're going to be, from what I understand, having a sweat lodge on the property.
Yeah, a ceremonial space and a sweat lodge.
Absolutely. And that's just one of the many aspects of recovery. For some people, there's also an organization called, that you brought up yesterday,
oh, yeah.
called Refuge Recovery.
Refuge Recovery, yeah.
Which is for people that say, well, AA is too religious or do this and that. Well, the theory with AA is you pick your own God.
Right.
You know, we talk about people that have had traumatic experiences in the past. Maybe they experienced sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, abandonment mm-hmm. issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that usually is not addressed is, has there been some religious or spiritual abuse telling you that if you don't believe in this, you're going to hell anyway?
Right.
You know, you're already screwed, basically. So
right.
what's the point of trying to practice a respected lifestyle
mm-hmm.
if you've already been damned? And how do you heal with that? Well, in a 12-step recovery organization, it's saying, well, pick your own.
That's right.
Pick a higher power that you can identify with. Some people, like an organization called Recovery Beyond, believes that nature and mm-hmm. outdoors. And it's like, well, look at the acronym, the Great Outdoors.
G-O-D.
G-O-D.
Yeah,
there we
that's
go.
Right.
Or it could be good orderly direction.
Correct.
Or it could be group of drunks.
Group
it
of druggies. Group of drunks,
you know,
yeah.
Just let's quit abusing ourselves by judging ourselves too harshly. Choose something that's going to love you unconditionally.
That's right.
And when it comes to refuge recovery, that's more of a, well, you can best, it's a Buddhist technique.
Yeah, it's you know, the term refuge comes from one of the tenets of Buddhism, which is I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. Sangha is the community, right? And that's the thing that I found with refuge recovery that's been so amazing, is that it really is about, it's a forward-looking path where we're focused on who we're becoming versus spending a lot of time with identification of the past and identifying with our disease, identifying with, and I think that can be a trap. I think it's important to find identification with other addicts and with other, you know, alcoholics in recovery. But I also think that for some people, I've observed this in myself and in others, that we sometimes fall into a trap of identifying too closely with the disease model. And then we start thinking of ourselves as a broken person, right? And then that becomes permission to continue to acting in ways that are maybe disharmonious or not in line with our values of where we want to go.
Because you're still wearing that old label.
Exactly, exactly. Still fixating on this, I'm a broken person, I'm a flawed person. And that becomes a justification for all kinds of behavior. And I've fallen into those traps many times in recovery. But I think that refuge recovery really, this is the only place where I meditate for 20 minutes at a time, is in a group community where everyone else is doing it. I find it so much easier to sit quietly for 20 minutes. And the time goes by so much faster. When I'm meditating by myself, it seems like it's drudgery and it seems like it takes forever and I'm constantly getting distracted. And so there's something really empowering about the community, meditating with a group in that setting. I think there's something about we borrow strength from each other in those moments.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit about Quakers.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Quaker group, it just kind of hit I like to experience pretty much everything out there.
Sure.
At least once. So I went to a Quaker service. And what they do is they just sit there in what they call contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just sits there. There's no speaker. There's no prayers. Everybody just sits in silence and whatever comes to them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was beautiful.
It's that still small voice that Thoreau and Emerson referred to.
Yep.
You know, this idea that God is speaking to us or whatever you're, you know, I wanted to say something about this idea of a concept of your own higher power. I've been working with a young man in recovery, and he had some religious trauma, and so he had a real hard time with the idea of God. So I said, "You really do get to pick your own concept." And so he's a creative guy, and so I said, "Hey, make this a creative project. And the next time we got together, he said, I came up with a name for my higher power. It's GUS, and it stands for Great Universal Spirit. And I thought that was so brilliant,
that is,
man.
Awesome.
So I share that. Gosh. I share that for anybody that's listening, that's struggling with the idea of God, that you can truly adopt anything. And that little beginning, that still like that mustard seed of faith, was all it took for this young man to now have a full fledged, prayerful, rich spiritual life.
You know, that is beautiful.
So it all starts with that small willingness to just try something new.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, in recovery, we say, well, how do you do it? Well, it's really, it comes down to an acronym of you have to be willing,
mm-hmm.
open-minded,
mm-hmm.
and you fill
honest.
In the blank. And honest.
Yeah,
that's how. That's the H-O-W of
that's
how you
right.
do it.
That's
and
right.
those are essential. You know, so there's so many different opportunities nowadays because there's so many garden variety drunks and alcohol and addicts like myself.
Yeah.
And
and like me.
There's also different 12-step, not even 12-step groups, different groups that you can find online. One is called lifering.org,
mm-hmm.
where there's women's groups, there's men's groups, there's even a group called Liver Spots that's designed
wow.
for people that are either waiting for a new liver or that have just donated a liver.
Wow.
And I've even been on that site where some of them are doing their Zoom meeting from a hospital bed.
That's wild.
It's fascinating. There's also Smart Recovery,
Smart
which
recovery,
is a whole
yeah.
other acronym. Do you recall what the acronym is? It's Self-Managed Addiction Recovery Training.
Okay.
And they have their own workbooks. They have then there's also Adult Children of Alcoholics. Just on Vashon Island alone, when I started working at Vashon Youth and Family Services, there were, I believe, 3 meetings a week on the island. We now have umpteen meetings
with
all different varieties.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants a current schedule of the meetings, just stop in our lobby at Vashon Youth and Family Services. We're located right in the back parking lot of the high school here. And in fact, I just updated our schedules. It's a bright yellow sheet of paper right inside the front door. You can be anonymous, come in and help yourself to a schedule. And or if you have any questions, myself being the drug and alcohol counselor at Vashon Youth and Family Services, give me a call anytime. And I even have a cell phone that the organization was kind enough to provide me with, and I'll take your call pretty much anytime. And that's 206-714-2572. I'm looking at my business card because I never call myself, so I never know what my phone number is. Once again, it's 206-714-2572. And I have a feeling that if it's okay with you, Jeff, come back and be with us again on Adventures in Recovery.
This has been such a great conversation, and I'm just so excited with how things are taking shape here on the island. And so I can't wait to update you next time I get a chance to come back.
And I can't wait to hear all about it because you, Mister, are really bringing a lot to our beautiful little piece of King County here and our own little circle of the world.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
And thanks again to our outstanding engineer, Truman O'Brien.
We couldn't do it without you, Truman. Thank you.
You're awesome. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen, and we look forward to being with you every Tuesday here on Adventures in Recovery at the Voice of Vashon, KVHS, Vashon, Washington, every Tuesday at 1:30. Love you all.